Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, on his feet tonight running the board. Yes, Drew?
That's right. Oh, this is good.
Turn your mic on.
He's doing a spectacular job.
This is really a crack outfit.
Yeah. Hot yourself
and
up.
By crack, I mean you're all smoking.
We're
crack.
In the proverbial crap storm right now. We're right in the eye of the storm.
Those voices you hear, by the way, are Seth Green and Dax Shepard, both in the new movie Without a Paddle. Yes, Drew.
He knows how to clap, but he can't get the mic on.
Drew, we don't need you anyway, really. I mean, you do know that,
I have an anthropology degree from UCLA. Should cut it.
And I've been dating for over 15 years. So.
Yeah, and I've picked up all Chris, I need to pick up from
And I've had addictions.
Oh, Chris.
You're not going to tell me to turn this way.
Jeez. You guys can listen to me eat
Chris,
some Cheetos.
Where were you, by the way, when the show started?
Testing, one, two. There we go.
Running two boards.
Yeah. Over there.
Oh, okay.
Right. Go over there.
All right, go over there. Shoo.
Hey, Drew. All right. Just make sure the levels are good. That's all I ask.
How's those levels, Drew?
How they sound to you? Testing everybody.
They're good. Always sound bad.
Test.
Sound all
right. Testing.
Everything's good.
Yeah. See what happens when you have three board ops, you see?
Yeah, too much Adam.
Good.
Too much Adam.
Now that the mic works, shut up, Drew. All right. That's enough. Let's talk about, let's talk about a couple of things first. The Family Guy.
Yeah.
Back in full swing.
Can you believe that, man?
We're very excited about it.
We just went to Montreal and did, like, staged readings of Wish Upon a Weinstein.
Really?
And just the fan support was enormous.
Get that. Seth Green has worked nonstop since he began in the business.
That's Seth reading his bio as Chris from The Family Guy.
We're gonna do like a whole another two seasons.
Did you do that on the last time you were here? Your bio as that?
It probably was. Yeah.
I think I may have forced him to do that.
Dax Shepard is one of the greatest, most he's a good performer, and I like his ass because it makes do it.
The best part of that voice is it comes with the cutest face I've ever seen Seth make. You look so adorable.
It's a real, that's why I don't like to be filmed when
I'm doing it. It's hard for Seth not to look cute, though. I mean, really got to admit
that. This took a turn.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Let's confront the pink elephant in the room. How gorgeous you are.
I was watching The Italian Job just the other day. Let me tell you something about good movies. You should see them again a year later.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you got
it. It's a good habit to get into.
Yeah, just give it. You know what? A movie that you enjoyed a year ago but haven't seen, especially if you see a lot of movies stoned like I do, you don't remember at all. Mm-hmm. And people always talk about like, you get drunk, you get high, you get stoned, you go to concerts, you go to movies. Drew punching a whole new mic tonight. Yeah,
it's had nice kind of play to it too.
Yeah,
it's like a bag.
It sounds like you got a boner.
All I'm saying is people make a big deal about you getting high and forgetting stuff, but what about forgetting good movies that you get to enjoy again?
See, there's no liability there. Yeah. That film was actually filmed sort of like a block from my house.
Oh, yeah, I heard you're in Pasadena. Yeah. Not to like out you and make people stalk you.
No, but then we don't
I'm just saying
houses.
He lives on 1829 Grove. I wonder if that address exists and someone's going to be like, Dr.
Security.
Drew, I love you!
Yeah, the back door code is pyramid. So
pyramid.
All right, let's plug away on the new movie. By the way, a couple things. First, Burt Reynolds is in this.
It's true.
You're damn right.
New Burt or old Burt?
Both Burt.
There's only one.
What he doesn't do is BR.
Doesn't Burt. Do his old self anymore. Doesn't come around as.
Well, I mean, is it like a reprisal of Deliverance or something, or Send
really
Up or something?
I mean, people are making that comparison because there's guys in a canoe, but this is a ball.
There's also some cars in the movie, but no one's calling it Smokey and the Bandit.
Well, I'm
Dom DeLuise come in.
He's
several
cooked
times.
Us all dinner, and he's wearing a great suit.
No, what I'm turn Seth up, by the way. What I'm asking, smartasses, is that. Is the movie Deliverance, but does Burt Reynolds do like any kind of homage?
No, he plays
thing?
Like this old mountain guy who lives in the woods and gives us clothes.
Where'd you film it? In Canada?
New Zealand.
Oh, my God. New Zealand?
You bet, bud.
How was that?
It was terrific. Why New Zealand? Were in the most pristine backwoods. Like, we literally had to helicopter to work.
It was the time of year. They couldn't film it because we were filming between October and December, and it was too cold.
Too cold.
Which, they lured us there saying, it's our summer.
It was
which
freezing.
Is a lie. I don't care what they teach you in science. It was still 45 degrees there. The entire
but it looked like
time.
Summer.
Yeah.
It
looks
like
the water. It looks like summer. Oh my god! Yeah, the rivers were full because they had just melted. So the water was like 36 degrees.
But it was spectacular, right?
Beautiful to look at. Horrible to swim in.
Great on the eyes. Horrible on the body.
Just freezing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend 60% of the movie soaking wet, and another 40% in our underwear. So
don't
we
they,
all caught a good cold.
When I was a stand-in on the movie Judgment Night.
Wow.
Your cinematic triumph.
One wrong turn equals...
Judgment
the
Night.
The Nightmare of a Lifetime, starring Dennis Leary. For three boys who needed...
I like when they explain what they thought they were going to do. They thought they were going to a ball game.
Right. Yeah.
But what happened?
Let's just take this turn. The freeway's too crowded. I don't know where we are, man.
I always like that, too. Like, guys been living in Chicago for 37 years. They get off one ramp halfway to Wrigley, and they're like, we're in Uganda.
Well,
where are we?
I thought that about the movie Grand Canyon, having not been to L.A. yet and seen the movie in Detroit and going, man, if you'd make a wrong turn out there in L.A. Or if you take the wrong route home from the Lakers game, you are as good as dead, and you better pray Danny Glover's around the corner.
Yeah, and it's what happens is a whole bunch of guys with the tattoo teardrops come up and want to know what you're doing in their neighborhood.
They're a dime a dozen out there.
They're the Mexican guardian angels.
Seriously, I've gone down and purchased a dozen guys with teardrops for a dime. I've seen it happen.
Yeah. So while I was standing in on that movie and doing
phenomenal.
You'll see my name on the rap shirt, about that name 347 they printed on the shirts at the rap party. The guys would sit in a hot tub because when you're wet and you can't change your clothes, you just sit in a hot tub. Did they have a hot tub? Thing.
Yeah, it was a medical requirement. We had a medic on set because we were in the water for a good 15-25 minutes at a time, and you just literally get chilled to the point that you can't. You just can't feel anything, so they would usher us up to a hot tub.
The funny thing about the hot tub is that we changed locations almost every day, so it had to be mobile.
Right.
So it was literally in the back of this U-Haul truck, which was so weird to be sitting in a hot tub in a square aluminum box with the door shut.
And we had the most exceptional view.
It was been like
from the hot tub?
Yeah, because they'd park it right out on a cliffside.
Half in a box van, but then there'd be this beautiful landscape.
There's a whole other movie there.
I could imagine just locals walking by going, that is the most luxurious steak bed truck I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen them with gun racks, but rarely a hot tub.
Lucky for us, it was a closed set.
Of course, the way they were thinking, oh, those Hollywood stars, they have to have their hot tubs brought in with them.
Yeah. We insisted on a lot of star treatment out there, too.
Well, did they have any, like, couldn't they put, like, a little wetsuit or something underneath your clothes?
Yeah, in situations you could.
But we're wearing, t-shirts, and we're wearing our underwear and a lot of scenes.
We want to see nipple. We want to see nipple.
You might not want to, but for sure you're gonna.
Scrotum nipple, let's face it.
You don't hire
$9.
Seth Green for his, acting ability. No. It's eye candy time.
Yeah. Like, make that Chris face and give me some elbow room.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Drew.
Let's go.
You ready to rock?
You're on your own there.
Are we going to start the show? That wasn't on, was it?
We're hopping to the phones.
Break it down.
Well, I'll do what I always do when you travel.
You start at one.
No.
Oh.
I start at the call that you last left the sticker on from Thursday and assume that's good enough. So that's going to be line two. Brittany?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's happening, baby doll?
Well, I've been getting these, really bad cramps in, my left side, I guess in my pelvic area, and it's,
I'm out.
Making your thigh go numb, so it's pain that goes down your leg.
Well, just the top part, the surface of my, leg on the top front part.
So there's two possibilities. One is that, there's a couple possibilities, really, but one is that maybe this is actually a back problem, and it's just radiating to the abdominal area.
Like a sciatic type thing.
Yeah. Or there's something called the round ligament that supports your uterus that can become inflamed and hurt.
I blew mine out in high school, actually.
Yeah, yours is. Well, I brought you a prolapsed vagina.
Yeah, I'd like to see a picture of that. It's a four-year free ride to Nebraska. I used to return punts, and I...
Seriously.
What's a prolapsed vagina?
Well, that's the bottom. It's under my
like an expert vagina?
Under that communication from LA Municipal, the one that says guilty on it,
yeah.
That I brought to show you, Adam.
Fantastic.
Wow. I'd like to see the... there we go. No, that's that's repaired. That's repaired.
Let me see. Okay.
There, open up the prolapse. There is the prolapse.
Please, please explain what that is, Drew. Please explain.
What the hell?
Do it into the microphone for a change. I don't want to see. I don't want to see that. I have trouble.
It literally look. The vagina looks like it's sticking its tongue out at us, or like this vagina just ate some bad sushi and spitting it out.
Ew. Like that. God.
No, no, of course.
We're not
suggesting
that you have a prolapse.
Although
I definitely appreciate your expertise.
The round ligament made me remember that I brought this in for Adam because he wondered what a prolapse vagina
was. No, I did not.
This, in this particular case, at the England Journal, it was a 46-year-old with two children. That's all it took to do this to her. Oh. So people that criticize cesarean section, the one way to protect yourself against this is have a cesarean
section. I do criticize cesarean section.
Well, this is what's in your future.
Well, not my future, but somebody's future.
Did you get any of the literature, Dax, dropped off before the show about the C-section?
I think it's overused. Really? I think we go there too quick, Drew.
This is why, though.
Come on.
All right.
Give me a one in a what? A one in 10,000? I mean,
No.
Yeah.
Drew.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a picture of a guy that got struck by lightning at home that scared the bejesus
11,
out of you,
11?
Too.
Yeah. Listen, Dax, you're already smarter than Drew.
Right?
He's got nothing.
11%.
Of what? No. You are completely lying. 11% of women get...
Women in their 80s who have triplets.
New England Journal.
Who change their tampon with a garden shovel.
See, there's people you guys don't see. You guys, listen, first of all, what happens to people medically is hidden from society. So you guys don't even know what happens to people.
Plus, you celebrity guys with your 19-year-old, if their fake IDs are really 14, you're swinging around town with. How dare you?
A woman has an
11... That's all I do. I only go after prolapsed vaginas.
Let me quote it.
That is my first question before I even ask. The age.
11% risk of undergoing surgery for incontinence, prolapse, or both by the age of 80.
Well, right, but you just named three things that they stand an 11% chance to have, not necessarily specifically
two prolapse. Two of those three were prolapse.
But even if they're
right. Prolapse,
what's the third?
Incontinence,
like hair.
Which is usually from a descension of coming towards the
Listen,
floor.
Right. By 80, you
what
should...
What do they pull it back up.
You should be wearing diapers.
You should hope your vagina falls off by 75.
If I can say what it looks like, because people can't see it, it looks like someone rode a pogo stick for 39 months straight.
Yeah,
that's what pregnancy is sometimes.
No underpants.
So.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the pain in the leg could be a couple different things. Also, there's also a nerve that comes out by your sort of inguinal area where your leg joins your body.
You know, the inguinal area.
There's pressure on neck and sometimes cause pain going up and going down to the leg.
All right, go.
It needs to be
see a doctor.
But I have a question. Did you think this was sex related? This is my first time on the show, but aren't these primarily like sex questions? So did you think this was related to some kind of?
This is a forum where young people can speak their minds and get questions in an anonymous fashion.
That's right. Thank you.
Without having to visit a family doctor.
So it's like Playboy Forum. It could be anything.
Yeah.
It could be like shoes to wear after
Labor Day. Here's the thing. Many years ago, the show was salacious sex and titillating sex questions. It's really just turned into a series of my rants against parking enforcement and kids that are trying to kill themselves. It's really taken a turn for the depressing, yes?
Yeah, to the extent that it is really inclusive of just rants. And mostly it's been, left turns. Red lights for
the occasional veering off course.
Yes, people that drive too slowly in the fast lane.
No,
mostly we talk.
Yeah, you're speaking metaphorically. Drew is
literally
speaking about driving. See,
Adam, you have a carrot top mug.
Oh, you're talking about. You're looking me right in the eye. It's like I don't look like carrot top.
No, not
speaking
your
of
face.
Metaphorically.
There's just a punch. I was hear the sound of a punch.
He told me I look like carrot top.
Your Honor,
holding a mug that says carrot top on it. Yeah, right. I forgot about that. All right, let's keep going. Aaron.
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I've been in long-distance relationships with my wife and prior to us getting married for quite a few years, and we've almost been married a year now, and I work here downtown L.A., and we live up in Bakersfield, and I'm away from her, you know, three or four nights a week, and...
Mm-hmm. Why, because you work?
Yes, because of work. I work 13-hour days, and...
And why would she want to move out of Bakersfield to come down and join him? Oh, my gosh.
She's
got Bakersfield to cling to.
Shangri-La.
Absolutely.
Streets paved with gold. Vine-ripened fruit coming from every... Every sewer grate. It's a honeymoon.
A honeymooner's paradise.
It really is. My folks went there. It's great. Yeah.
You know, the thing about Bakersfield, they always tell you if you go there, is, do you realize we're the only city that you could cut off from the rest of the world? We have our own oil. We have a petroleum refinery here. Yeah. And they tell you all the things that could make them inclusive.
They cook their own.
And I challenge them to wall up the city. Go for it.
Do that. Pretty easy. All right, Aaron. Sorry about Dax and his attack on Bakersfield. So anyway, you only see your wife a few nights a week, and
what can marriage counseling do for us? I mean, you know, we're happy when we're together, but there's a lot of times where we, you know, the arguments come out short tempered.
I'm pretty sure that marriage counseling can split you guys up in a hurry.
Yeah, here's the deal: you're describing a very stressful situation. You should do the best you can to reduce the stress and get the relationship together and give it what it needs, which is time and nurturance like any other relationship.
Well, it can't be around.
And if it's impossible, I'm not sure that therapy could do much for that. You've got to find a way to spend more time together.
She wants you to go to therapy, right?
Well, no, she hasn't mentioned it. I mean, it's just, we communicate well with one another, but, you know, the feelings for myself being away from her, I mean, it just drives me nuts.
Well, do you have kids?
Yes, we do. We have a year and a half old daughter.
Oh boy!
And you said you've been married for a year.
Yes.
And you guys, you got a house in Bakersfield.
Yes, I own a new home. I mean,
you guys need to spend more time together. That's the key to it.
How come you can't move down here?
We can't afford it. I mean, yeah, I make good money, and she's a registered nurse, but cost of living down here is nuts.
Registered nurse.
How would you feel about moving into Seth's home? He has an extra room. And I think
I've got kind of a flop house for wayward couples that are trying to work on their relationship.
Long distance lovers.
Yeah, they mend and then he sends them back out. Hey, Aaron.
Yes.
How about this? I know this sounds wacky, but no one will buy this. But how about you talk to her like if you're commuting for an hour and all that stuff? How about you get on the horn and talk to her? You
That's
know, wives, we never really bring this up, but if you know, you pick up the cell phone and do that, not calling to tell you to make sure and take the garbage out because the truck's coming in the morning, just thinking of you kind of stuff.
I am
shocked. Eat that stuff up.
I'm surprised that you even came up with that.
They
one.
Eat it up. I know. I'm working on a device that'll do it for me.
Oh, okay, got it.
I'm going to disagree with that because I'll lay in bed with my girlfriend and talk for 5 hours straight. I love talking to my girlfriend, but I can't talk to her for 7 minutes on a phone without literally wanting to put a bounty on her. I can't stand talking on the phone.
I can't either.
Because you have a rapport in person.
Because
you
get not
see
getting
each
a BJ.
Other, and then
really
it's
the,
right, it's really kind of a force, like we should be maintaining this over the phone.
Really, 5 hours, you and the girl in bed.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yes.
I've actually accepted 2 bounties, though, from him. Yeah. Hunted her for a good period of time. Tracked her all across North Carolina.
But Seth has witnessed...
Well, no, there's nothing to talk about with women on the phone.
Well, I wonder if on the phone what she's doing is, what are you doing? What are you up to? Why aren't you calling me? It gets on you through the phone as opposed to being a chance to kind of connect.
Dax has one of the coolest girls in the world. She's not
the coolest girl
chasing after.
So she doesn't pound on you in some way?
No, it's just one of those things where it's like, so what's going on? It's like, oh, not much. I'm doing this. And it's like, what are we doing? I'm not with you right now. Why are we?
Well,
that's... It's not like they just invented the phone and we're getting a bang out of the gimmick of it.
No, it's the same thing that's in it for you for, like, flowers or something. You just drop them off. They like it, and you get a little payback on the weekend. That's all. You just do that thinking of you, baby, and then you hang up.
But this guy, it sounds like his problem is just not being able to spend enough time with his wife and his kid.
Very stressful.
That's the key.
All
right. You got to find ways to spend more time.
By the way,
this
is one of those things that happens when you're 23 and you got a job and you want a house and blah, blah, blah. And you weather the storm and you make some money and then people move.
But be that as it may, what 23-year-old male really understands what a relationship needs?
No, not one.
So.
No. All right. Well, I don't know if we gave Aaron an answer or not.
The answer is he must prioritize that relationship the way he has his job and find a way to spend more
time. It might be more important to live in a box and be happy than make the good money in overtime.
All right. Let's. Something says anal. So,
that's got my number written all over
it. Nothing says loving like a little anal.
Tom from Arizona, 20. All right. Well, let's see. Cheated on a girlfriend with call girl.
Ooh.
That sounds good. JG.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening? Hi. Do you go by JG?
It's the night caller.
Yeah.
This is JG calling from Mesa, Arizona.
Okay. And you got busted for cheating with a call girl?
No, I didn't get busted. My girlfriend went away for a while, and basically, you know, I just, you know, I needed to have sex, so I went out and got a call girl, and unfortunately, you know, I didn't use a condom, and my girlfriend came back.
What do you think?
This is a series of brilliant mistakes,
yeah,
my man.
Yeah, my goodness.
Yeah, trust me, I know, I know.
You had intercourse with no condom, or just a BJ?
No, well, intercourse,
both.
You know, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you change up halfway, they'll charge you twice, by the way. Exactly. Turn that out the hard way. And then they
but,
went,
you know,
and
what,
they
you,
went
what are you worried about? You were probably her first.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Did you pop her cherry?
No, I don't
you
think
were
so.
Probably her first.
I don't think so. But
yeah, she was probably like, I can picture her like smoking one of those Moore cigarettes.
I guess I'm more concerned about the girl whose job it is to have sex with strangers who didn't insist on the protection.
Well, see, that's, let's talk about this, because that's where it really gets scary, which is if she didn't insist on some protection.
Who else did she
didn't
not
make, yeah, she didn't make an exception for
it also, yeah,
right.
To me, that nothing says drug addict like that.
Mm. Ooh.
I agree with you.
Yeah, and that's adding to the risk.
Did you guys do drugs together?
No. I don't do drugs or anything like that.
But were you drunk when you called her?
No.
But you did it sober.
Huh? Yeah.
You did this sober?
Dax, how dare you?
Wow.
This is a culture. Drinking and using a call girl? How dare you?
I really screwed up. Actually, I even screwed up even more than that, because my girlfriend came back recently and, you know, we had sex, and most of the time we use a condom as well, and then just one time at least we didn't. And even though I was, you know, tested for HIV a couple of weeks back, and I know that, you know, testing usually you got to do it every up to 3 months or up to.
Why were you tested?
Well, because he was with the call girl.
Yeah, exactly. And
hold on a second. There's a slightly bogus quality to this call.
That's why I was going down the HIV. The timing didn't sync up for me.
Yeah.
Why are you questioning this? Yeah, you get a lot of fake calls on the show.
He's not a stupid guy that's just sort of doing these crazy
things. Well, the
crazy
fact that he wasn't drunk is what made me go.
Yeah. And I lost respect for him, too, when I found out it was nighttime and he wasn't loaded.
If a guy prefaces a story by saying I was wasted, then I'll believe anything that happened
following it.
You know?
He's not wasted. He's a guy that religiously...
I ran for president once.
Uses condoms with his own girlfriend.
Fastidiously uses it with his own girlfriend.
But not does,
and not after he's been with the call girl. That's the one time he leaves it out.
Right.
In what world?
KG?
What world?
Here's the situation.
It sounds too dumb to be true.
Look, I'm serious. I got a really legitimate question here. What I wanted to ask is, Drew or whoever would know, is, look, in what ways can, if you know, I were HIV positive right now, could I transmit this to my girlfriend?
Well, probably by having sex without condoms. That's a good start.
Well, yeah, you can. That's actually, the initial HIV infection is actually quite a burst of viral activity.
Oh,
and then
really?
It goes down again. So it's actually during the acute HIV infection, people are highly contagious.
Better to have sex with somebody with the HIV a year later
Better to have it like 8 months later than 5 years later, untreated, than 4 months later.
All right.
In other words, it goes like this. Here's it goes quickly up, down, and then slowly up again.
Here's my question. I was tested a couple of weeks back, and I came up negative, but I know that, you know, it could show up anytime between 3 years.
You had an antibody test, or you had a direct RNA test?
I had a blood test. I don't know exactly.
All right. Why don't you go get the test.
Get the porn test.
Yeah, the porn test, the one where they actually test for the virus. Go ahead and get that. That's available now.
Okay, I'm not sure.
You got to test for the antibody. And that's what takes a while to come back.
But I have a real suggestion for you, which is A, stop having unprotected sex with strangers.
Yes. Yeah, I understand that.
I understand what you're saying. If you've already done this now what's the damage is done.
Yeah. Well, look. Yeah, okay.
Fortunately for you, and unfortunately for her.
Here's what's going to help you sleep, because I mean, I know we're all very politically correct about this, but even if you did have HIV, there'd probably be like a 1% chance you gave it to her on the one encounter.
Yes. That's
his odds of catching it from the call girl are less than his odds of giving it to his girl.
That's correct.
As the giver.
Right. So here's the deal. Your chances of getting it from the call girl are very slim. Yeah. And
not
then,
very slim, but slim.
Very, I would say, well, under 5%. Yeah, well under 5%, I would say. And then your chance of giving it to your girl
now it's very slim.
Yeah. And between the two of them, I'm sure it didn't happen. Could it happen? Yes.
And by the way, as he brought out, he's not had the acute infection yet. And so if you've not had the acute infection, you may not be producing virus yet.
Yeah.
So it might have been soon enough that he would not have passed it along.
Here's the thing, too. There are times when you got to wear the condom and times when you don't. You know
you
what I'm saying?
Know when to.
Yeah, you do. No, I'm just saying, like, when you don't wear the condom, it's not with the call girl who doesn't require the condom from any of her suitors.
That's not
like
the time.
You want to not wear a condom when you, like, slip a senior a roofie, and you know
when you do that.
When I do
when
that, when
that.
I go on
you
one of my
really
senior,
really want to get a stranger that you're date raping pregnant. You
right.
shouldn't wear a condom.
When I'm going right, on one of my senior roofie benders, that's when you don't wear the condom because that's safe. All right, let's take a little break. Drew, how you doing over
I'm
there?
I'm doing great over here.
Seth Green here tonight.
I'm giving terrible advice tonight.
Maybe not.
No, you're fine. Dax Shepard here.
No, I mean, that's my plan.
Oh.
Without a Paddle, name of the new movie coming out.
August 18th.
On the 18th. That is not this Friday, the next Friday?
No, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday.
A week from Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Movie's coming out on Wednesday.
Oh, that
days.
Happens now.
It does, yeah. Oh,
I sure. like Wednesday openings.
Oh, Wednesday? I love going to the cinema.
Pads
on
out
Wednesday.
The weekend for the week. We'll, catch it before the rush.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Line. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Dax Shepard is here tonight, as well as Seth Green.
Ow!
Without a Paddle, name of the new movie, ow! Out 1 week from this Wednesday on the 18th of August. You can also see Dax on, let's see. Oh, on Punk.
Well, yeah, he used to be able to.
He used to be able. That's done.
Not
over
for
with?
Me, not for the show, but
Dax
yeah.
became obscenely famous after the first season of Punk'd and could not punk anybody.
Oh, really? People would recognize
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You know, you always wonder about that, but it never seems to really happen, but I guess it did in this case.
It really did.
Yeah.
It we was awkward.
We used to, like, when we did the Man Show, we had the Man Show Boy, and he'd go out and screw with people, and he was, like, fairly famous, but L.A.'s filled with enough crazy nationalities that don't watch even English television, English-speaking TV, that you can always get, you can at least get crazy foreigners.
Right.
Could you?
But this was all celebrities.
Oh, you can't get celebrities, no
and
way.
And the viewership on that show, you know, we were getting like 3 million on the first run, and then it'd air five more times during the week and pick up 1.5 million, 2 million. So by the end of it, it was like, you know, a legitimate
yeah.
you know, network show with
yeah,
the ratings.
You could, and you could, yeah, you could never get a celebrity.
I mean, in real life, I crashed my motorcycle. I didn't crash it. I was hit, and when I skid to a stop, and I was bloody, this girl goes, "Oh, my God, you're Dax. Is this a Punk'd?"
Oh, my God.
I was like,
horrible.
And I go, yeah, I just ate crap going 50 down the street, and I'm all bloodied up for...
What kind of motorcycle you got?
Ultra Classic Electric Glide.
Yeah.
The old man.
Oh, the that's
a
Harley.
Really big, grew a big bicycle.
Harley. Yeah. Wow. Jeez, that thing falls over. You can't get it up.
This is true.
Let me say this, by the way. I haven't gotten into this for a while. One of my favorite rants, but I saw the guy earlier today. It's the guy who buys the cop bike at police auction.
Mm-hmm.
And
where's the
then
helmet?
Where's the cop helmet, too?
Yeah.
Like, hello? At a certain point, you are... Wait, can I see your shield? Like, you are impersonating an officer at a certain point.
That,
are
you
not?
And if you like being a cop that much, you can become a cop at a weekend seminar at a Ramada now. I mean, that they need people. It's not like
seriously,
you can't
you
become
do
a cop.
I'm just saying that the guy who does this, I'd sooner hang out with a group of white supremacist pedophiles than hang out with this boss.
Don't
I can't
underrate.
Stand these guys. Yeah, no, the white supremacists.
Yeah,
pedophiles.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they're good for
they
like some air hockey and stuff.
No, great barbecues.
I know they can cook.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they're mesquite guys.
They really are. Well, they do a lot of the salt rubs too. They'll
yeah,
rub that
well,
meat down.
The winters can get pretty cold. In
they have a hot
Idaho.
Dance party mixer in the winter season. That,
yeah, you're right. I probably shouldn't have used them as examples of
yeah.
good guys because when
they're
they throw
such
a kegger,
folk.
That
yeah,
is
they
the
throw
funny,
a good kegger.
You see those documentaries, and that is the funny thing about those groups. Like, there's only so many protests they can do. Or go out on the street so many times, and then it's just a lot of boredom. It's
damn.
Like them hanging up at the compound. There's not. They've made all the flyers. They've made all the T-shirts. They've said every racial slur.
The groundwork is done. We are going to wait for the entries to roll in now.
Now we got nothing left to do but tap the keg and put the pig in the ground.
Yeah. We have officially started the revolution.
Now let's eat.
Y'all want to beat up my girlfriend?
Yeah, I guess they can barbecue. I'd say that's the one thing you'd have to say about those militia groups is they really can barbecue.
They can throw a block party like no one's business.
Yeah. Whereas the Jews, you know, not great.
Noshers.
Not the spit in the open pit.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, you're right. Ironically, the one thing that the black man and the white supremacist probably share is their love of barbecue, and yet they can't find common ground even on that. And
Well, that's how I'm going to bridge the gap. I have a whole coalition set up. It's called Unite Barbecue Unite.
Right, the sauce can't tell what color you are.
It's called BBQU,
and everyone's invited to wear a purple frock.
So we don't know what color you are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh huh.
Wow.
And gloves.
That's heavy.
Gloves are very crucial.
Well, they're more of an oven mitt. Actually, they do offer a certain degree of protection too. It's not all about anonymity.
We've united no less than 13 people.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Four of whom blind.
It does strike me that you could. This is why I spent some time with Refrigerator Perry. He only spoke about putting a pig in the ground. Actually had a pig that he was going to pick up and all that stuff.
I swear to God, I went to a barbecue my buddy's dad had out in the middle of nowhere, Michigan. And they not only had a pig on a spit, but they had stuffed four chickens in the pig's ass on the spit. So it was like chickens being cooked inside of a pig.
Oh my God. The
best chicken I've ever had.
God.
I wanted them to stick the pig then in a cow's ass and just have every known edible meat on one spit.
Trying to get the chicken to fly up the pig's ass is one of the most difficult parts of that whole process, Drew. But I really do mean this. The militia guys, the supremacists, and the people that oftentimes they have the most hatred for all share a love of the outdoors and barbecue, and they should really find some common ground over the spit and really come together. And you know what? I'm willing if you want me to do a PSA.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Or help. I know some guy to silk screening. We get the T-shirts going.
I got a buddy who's a crop duster. If you could help me make the sign that's going to fly behind it.
I actually have somebody that works in banners and bumper stickers. So
I can do that. Yeah, and this guy specializes in rainbow tape.
We're in the same boat as the supremacists. We've got all the legwork done and nothing to do now.
Let's sit back and tap the keg, gentlemen.
Yeah. Amy?
To wait for the revolution to roll in.
24?
Amy?
All right, hold on a second.
Oh,
we had just all I'm going to say is we came full circle from the cop bike here, which is if you do buy the police surplus bike at the cop auction, the Moto Guzzi with the black and white, or the Kawasaki 1000 or whatever the hell it is, whatever that is, you must wear an orange full face helmet.
Yeah. You somehow live in Mad Max Kaiser world where the cops drive Moto Guzzis.
Whatever.
It's like they're going on not cafe racers going 190 down an English countryside.
How dare you? That used to be a cop bike out here, the Moto Guzzi or Guzzi or Guzzi.
No, it's the Kawasaki.
And the get on the computer.
No, I'll tell you, you're right in that. And there's a movie, I think it's a Hal Ashby movie, famous movie, where the guy's got a Moto Guzzi, but that we're talking the 60s.
I'm telling you, the LAPD had some of those at some point. Look it up.
I'll
there,
look
Drew.
It up. How do you spell that?
And by the way, the Japanese bike versus the Harley, it's like one's 10 grand, the other's 20 grand, the guy was telling me. All right.
Now they drive the BMW.
Amy?
Hello.
What's happening?
All right. I have kind of a two-part question.
Ooh.
First of all, I need to know if what I'm seeing on my little girl is normal. And second of all, I want you guys to tell me if I'm just, freaking out.
All right. Is it the mark of the beast?
Wait, I need to clarify. Are you literally talking about your child, or is that a euphemism for your...
No, literally talking
your
about
part.
My
part. Oh, okay.
Okay, I have a two-year-old little girl, almost two.
So your vagina's only two?
What?
All right, keep going. I'm confused now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a two-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a few times found that she's very red and swollen in the labia and her genital areas. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been concerned too much, but kind of wondered and kind of tried to get her cleaned up, and it goes away. Anyway, I'm married. My husband works days. I work nights. He's
why do you not have, do you not have health insurance?
What?
You don't
we
have
do
health
have
insurance?
Health insurance.
And well, why'd you take her in?
Well, maybe she's freaked out.
I am freaked out. I'm really freaked out, and
right,
I don't
well,
want to that, that her, my
all right,
husband.
We're going to ask you a question, and then this will be.
You didn't see that count going there from a mile away.
Drew was looking up Moto Guzzi.
I was looking at with 1970. I've got a 1970.
He's got
LAPD,
Ducatis. He's got Ducatis in Memphis. But.
Thank you, Dax.
1970.
Mister, I can crash a bike, but I don't know anything about him.
I know everything about them.
Well, I just told you, LAPD.
But you don't know a lot about 2-year-old labia, so let's let the professional handle it.
True.
Yeah.
Here's a question we need to ask.
Are you a Mormon?
This is going to be...
No.
Well, that's one.
That
okay. Thank you, Drew. And the other one we need to ask is, were you ever molested?
I was going to ask that.
No. And your dad never did anything bad?
No.
And you love
My
him?
My dad actually died of a heart attack when I was 4.
Ooh.
And then I have a stepfather who my mom married about a year later. And he's been a great guy.
Okay.
All right.
Well, good. Then,
that's a good sign.
Then your husband is probably not molesting your child.
But she does. You know, she might have some other medical problem. I'm not quite sure what you're describing. That's I was trying to picture what you're describing. Even.
Maybe she just got into your lipstick.
What got me freaked out today is she had to pee, and I'm potty training her, and she told me that she had to pee, and I said, "Well, let's go," and she said, "No," and she said, "Owie," and grabbed down there, and then she laid down on the floor, and I said, "What is wrong with you?" And I picked her up, and I said, "Come on, let's go potty." And she said, "No, owie." And
maybe
so
she has a yeast infection, or maybe she's got a urinary
UTI
tract infection.
At that
Absolutely.
Age.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, yeah, so, I don't even know
and
if
they can have
little girls.
They can have disorders of the, you know, undetected congenital problems of the urogenital tract. I mean, things need to be checked out. Come on, take her in, okay?
Just take her in.
Get her 20 ounces of cranberry juice, though.
In the meantime.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
So you think it's all right, then, with my husband?
I
hate
don't
to think that, but I just
We've never met him.
Here's the thing.
What's
that,
his name? I can usually tell by the name.
What's the?
I'm great in jury selection. Yeah. Give me some information.
What's the name?
What's he do too?
What's his name?
Kevin.
Ooh, that's on the fence.
Yeah, that's fancy.
Yeah, Britney Spears is marrying a guy named Kevin, and he is completely questionable. So
yeah. Yeah, acceptable names. Seth is acceptable.
Yeah,
Adam is nice.
Yeah.
Joel.
Dax,
rarely.
Horrible. Do you ever have a babysitter named Dax?
Or Bernie?
No.
It's always questionable.
All right, and what does he do? Does he work with metal?
He's a chemist.
Chemist. All right, he's fine.
Okay, well, I think so.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I was going to go the other way on that. I'm like, anyone that would like to spend time in a laboratory with penis-shaped graduated
beakers,
cylinders and beakers and
we'd be great jurors.
Or armchair scientists. Just that sounds horrible.
What's his what's the defendant's name? His name is Sheikh Allah
guilty.
Next. Oh no, we're not accusing him. This is tax evasion. Doesn't matter. Just next. Who's next?
I don't need to know how to spell his last name. It's Guilty.
Next case is Brad, but he goes by Bradley. No, he's fine. Keep moving.
I don't care if he lives in an affluent neighborhood. From now on, he lives in the hole. You understand?
Yeah, we call it. Yeah, it's a gut instinct trial. Yeah, you got to follow your gut. Drew, what'd you find out about the Moto Guzzi?
I got a picture of it for you.
So wait, the verdict is that she should take her kid to the doctor.
She should take her kid to the doctor, and any of these pussies out there who buys the cop auction bike and then the two-tone black and white helmet needs to just floor it into a stucco wall and kill yourself.
But
please, you pussies.
Before he announces.
Who are you kidding?
Before he announces the verdict here, I want to be clear that I'm just saying that not since the 60s. Do you realize that that's what I'm claiming?
No, I know, 70. But I'm saying it's, I'm saying it might go into the 70s.
The chips. I mean, John and Ponch drove Kawasaki.
That's true. Okay. But that's CHP, and also that was, 76, 77.
Right.
You know, we're not talking 71, 72. All right. Can we alienate ourselves any further from our 14-year-old audience?
Take a break. You guys can look at the picture.
Six motorbike enthusiasts that are literally...
Finally,
they
a show
just pulled
for me.
Their pants down.
Yeah, the guy's been waiting 9 long years for us to talk about the Moto Guzzi.
Say it again.
I know that
say
if I
again.
Just sit patiently...
Say it again.
We will take ourselves a little bit of a break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. keeping it real back at the board.
In the hizzy.
Yeah. Drew has not been behind the Loveline board in many a year on this show.
Yeah. Things have changed.
Hizzy, you'll be out of the house.
Yeah. Dax Shepard is here tonight, as well as Seth Green from
What was it you said on that? You were like, you've got to keep her spunk drunk 24/7.
Oh, let's just hear it. Come on, Anderson.
You got to get out there and get your bitch spunk drunk. Look, motherfucker, I'm telling you, don't be a player hater, because when you tap her in the ass, you ain't going to be interested in pistol rubbing no more, and the digit is dizzle, and in the hizzy for chizzy, going to be great on the QT for real.
That's
a great bit, man.
Yeah.
From the and you know what? It's sound advice. It really is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, nigga, that it would put you into the mode where you would have no problem to get that freaky shit going. 24/7 flowing semen here in your house. In your hizzy.
Cut that part out. I'm not sure with the NAACP.
It's all, it's in context, Drew. They call themselves that. You know?
I know that. It was making fun with. Oh, yeah. And Dave Dalgura said I could do it.
Drew in the hizzy.
Yeah, well, Dag, you know, he speaks for all people of color.
Well, I have to check with through with him.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, he's our main man, by the way.
But why was you so not expecting that?
Right?
I just wasn't expecting it. You know what I mean? Like, the first time I saw that bit, I had no idea that that's where it was going. It really took me by surprise and just made me laugh a lot.
Seth Green, by the way, can be seen on Crank Yankers as well. New season, Tuesdays at 10:30 on Comedy Central.
Crank
Yankers. And the Family Guy.
A little plug. And Family Guy coming. When is the Family Guy, the new
I don't know. Sometime between January and March, they're going to put it off. We've already recorded like 6 new shows.
I begged Alex Borstein and Mila to get me to be a voice on that show.
I'm sure it wouldn't be hard. You should call it Maverick. Call up Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, let me just do a little recreation of the Mila Kunis, Dr. Drew Family Guy discussion. Mila, you got to get me on that show. What show? And who are you? Family Guy, huh? I do that. I got to talk to my agent. Drew begging.
That's not how that works. She went. I love the Family Guy.
All right.
She is one of the cutest, sweetest girls in existence.
Put Drew on that show, please, and shut him up. And even if it's just a throwaway show,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Just something I can show my kids.
All right. Let's see. Irwin molested as a kid. Hmm. Family history of bipolar. Mom and boyfriend died on same night.
Ooh, so we're gonna keep the upbeat right here.
Sounds upbeat. Yeah, Heather.
Yes.
Your mother and your boyfriend died on the same night.
Yes.
Oh.
Whoa. Were they together in the same car, or is just a horrible coincidence?
The night that my mom died, I went home because I lived with my boyfriend. He hung himself.
Oh.
Woo.
Yeah.
And so you found him.
Yeah.
And that had nothing to do with your mom. That was just a completely separate incident.
No, it was completely different.
How long ago was that?
It was completely separate.
How long ago?
It was in April.
Oh.
Whoa.
What'd your mom die from?
She died from cancer.
So that was sort of an anticipated death, right?
Yeah.
But not the boyfriend.
No.
Is the boyfriend depressed?
Evidently.
So he had never complained of depression?
Did he leave a note?
The only thing he ever said about anything about death was that he couldn't live without me.
Mm.
Were you threatening to leave him?
No.
Was he on medication or doing drugs or something?
No.
Yeah.
I can't hear.
Phone lines coming out again.
What was that?
No, he wasn't doing anything.
All right, so he just killed himself for no reason. I mean, obviously he was depressed.
We had an argument that night, and
something's missing from this story.
Was there some revelation or something?
I was mad at him because he wasn't home when I got home.
Does he have? Can you tell us something about his history? I mean, do you have a history of mental health problems, or?
He had tried to kill himself a few times before.
Okay, yeah. That would be depression. Okay, you can put that in there for us.
All right. So
that makes sense.
So have you got any counseling or anything, Heather?
Yes, I have.
Okay. All right.
Well, do you have a question for us?
I do. How can I help myself be fair to somebody that I'm in a relationship with?
Are you in a new relationship?
Yes.
What do you do? What do you mean be fair? How are you not being fair?
Because I feel that I keep comparing everybody that I talk to or that I'm interested in or that I'm dating to him, and he's not here anymore.
No.
Right. Yeah. But that's the practical experience that you have.
That would happen even if he hadn't killed himself and you guys just broke up.
Absolutely.
And yeah, you'll get over that.
Minimum of 6 months to get over something like that.
I feel like it's not giving the person I'm with a fair chance, though.
Well, maybe you're intentionally doing this to keep this new person at arm's length.
Absolutely. And the only person you're not giving a fair chance to is yourself to mourn the loss of these people. Give yourself that space. Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Let me write that down. Yourself.
Got it?
Yeah. Heather.
Yes.
Stay in therapy, and when you notice yourself bringing up the hanging guy, don't do it. I mean, you just have to sort of keep an eye on yourself.
Well, what I know about her, though, is that she needs to be a caretaker.
All right.
Right?
I will say, though, my one experience in life where I broke up with a girl and there was absolutely no closure, that's the only girl that continues to, like, could potentially rattle me because you can go, well, it didn't play out. Something drastic happened immediately and then there was no closure. And so you didn't go through the horrible time and then finally got fed up and then left the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you could, I could see where she would go, oh, well, it was perfect. And it was taken from me, but it's probably wasn't perfect, right. And there is no such thing as perfect, unfortunately, so.
Dax's interpretation of closure is anal, though.
I knew what he meant.
No, that's my interpretation of introduction.
I knew what he meant.
Well, we got a break. Big celebrity. We'll take ourselves a little break. Dax Shepard, Seth Green, here tonight without a paddle, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Seth Green is here tonight, as well as Dax Shepard from Without a Paddle. Boy, we just had a real heady conversation about plasma screens.
Guys, I didn't.
That's how we lightened up the atmosphere of the.
What's
the
that?
Guy
don't compare answers.
No, don't work on those during the when the mic's on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know what's weird is there's already, though, and I'm going to out you right now. Dr. Drew's doing this this survey about celebrities because no one's really, probably, I assume, had access to them to do a study.
That's what you figure it is. Yeah. It's never been done.
So Dr. Drew is now, Seth and I, not that I am legitimately a celebrity, but will be 199 and 200 in the survey. And I had filled out half of mine and looked over at Seth, who had filled out half of his, and you could have photocopied it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Same answer.
I bet you're going to find some patterns
Interesting.
Here.
Interesting. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I'm a little confused because some of the questions spell out
they're
three different things.
They're not
supposed
worded,
to agree
or
disagree.
Here's the thing. You just fill them out and pretend.
But no,
like
they tried
care.
To save space. The equivalent of the question would be like, I like to eat breakfast. Eggs, bacon, potatoes, and pancakes. And you're like, well, yes, I like to eat breakfast. Yes, I like eggs. I like bacon. I don't like potatoes. But you have an all-in-one question.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
That's just going to be my first kind of.
I really enjoy American Idol, and I think Clay Aiken got the shaft.
It's like, well, wait, I do like American Idol, but I don't.
All right. There we go. Drew, see what this test do?
It's
make everyone
it
loopy.
Them. Yes, it
Heidi?
Bad times.
Yes?
You're 26?
Yes, I am.
You right in my wheelhouse.
You consider yourself a sex addict?
I think so.
Wow.
Mm. What's that based on?
What's it based on? The fact that I meet people, I have sex with them, and then I want nothing to do with them afterwards. Mm. And
but like common clinical sexual addiction is based on other things.
By that criteria,
just
you could be a producer,
true.
Right?
Sorry? Yeah.
But how many guys are we talking about here?
In the last couple of years, I'd say about at least 40.
Uh-huh. And what's your phone number?
And where do you live?
You know, all I know so far is that you don't like intimacy and that you have a high sex drive. And
do you feel lousy after it?
I don't necessarily feel lousy. The problem is I do want a relationship. It's just I don't find anybody that is willing to deal with the fact that I am sexually aggressive. I am very upfront.
But
and
I'm going to guess that stems from the fact that you have sex with them before you get to know them.
Sexually aggressive usually just means 200 pounds plus. Yes? Big guy?
Well, very close.
Right. Okay.
I'm 6 foot,
You're 6 foot?
Yeah, but it's not the sexual aggression.
That can scare a guy who's got a couple of drinks
in him. I actually know a really nice guy. He's 6'5" and looking for a sweet girl with a high sex drive who desperately wants to be understood. I'm not kidding.
It's actually Seth on Dak's shoulders with a long trench coat and a boner.
That would put us well over 10 feet.
I swear we'd be the perfect. Yeah,
we'd be the perfect match because you could actually have two at once all the time.
Fantastic.
Oh, hold on. What happened to that gag where the kids got on each other's shoulders and did the trench coat and tried to get into the club or whatever?
We did it in one of the Austin Powers movies.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what happened to it. Well, then what about souffle humor where the souffle would crash down?
The next Austin Powers movie.
All right. Heidi.
But Heidi, listen, the sexual aggression is guys are just aren't really attracted to you, into you, and they don't know how to deal with that. If guys are into you and you're being sexually aggressive, it's fine. Guys are fine with that.
Yeah. Plus, you're formidable.
Yeah. But let's talk about
as much as I want every girl in the world to be like Heidi, the sad fact is, and my girlfriend and I were just talking about it, I've never dated someone that I nailed right off the bat. It just hasn't happened.
Yeah. Well,
I want that to be the case because I want to meet you in a bar and I want you to give it up in like within 15 seconds. But the sad truth is we probably won't date.
I don't think Heidi, by the way, even wants to date or do you want a long-term thing?
Yeah, but I think that's an easy way to.
Yeah, I mean,
that kind of claim is an easy.
Yeah,
thing
she
to
says
say.
She wants it, but she's not approaching her life that way.
Let's take a sort of snapshot of your history here. Are you an addict?
Am I an addict? No.
You've never been addicted to any chemical?
No. God, no.
And were you sexually abused growing up?
She said, yes, God, I was. No.
You were sexually abused?
Yes.
So really, be more in the realm of sexual compulsion we talk about here.
Who abused you?
Grandfather.
Yeah.
From what age to what age?
From the time I was 4 until the time I was 9.
Yeah. Is he dead?
You're exacting a lot of control over yourself and your own physical domain by acting out with other people.
Right. What they do is just reenact the trauma over and over again compulsively.
Listen, and again, a plea for all grandparents who want to molest to kill themselves. Just kill yourself. You're close. You got one foot in the grave as it is. You smell. You got that dandruff thing going on the sport coats. Just put a bullet in your head, Grandpa. Please, would you? Can you believe that? And not only do you get molested, you get it by an old guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's lose-lose.
Yeah, but your grandfather.
I mean, and it's your grandpa.
It's only going to increase now that there's Viagra.
This is something Seth and I were talking about. The basic covenant between the generations has been just completely dissolved.
Yeah.
Big people take care of little people. One generation takes care of the next. And that covenant's just gone.
Yeah. It's really every person for themselves.
Hey, Heidi?
Yes.
How about you start with a whole bunch of therapy?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
I've already gone to therapy.
Yeah, I don't think you can go through therapy if your grandfather has at you for 5 years. I think you can just be in therapy.
Not only that.
Pass through it.
Not only that.
It's like a hamster wheel of therapy.
Finding a really good counselor that you connect with is a tricky thing, too. You can try and solve the same problems with 3 or 4 different people and find only one person that you can actually make any progress with.
That's true. And the success in therapy would not include this kind of behavior. So whatever you did, it didn't work, you didn't finish it, you didn't continue, whatever. And it's time to get back to a little bit.
All right. And secondly, you can stop whatever it is you're doing that you don't like. I mean, can you stop acting out?
And just look for a relationship. This obviously is not the way to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And,
all right.
There's obviously something wrong with the plan because you called.
Well, here's the thing, too, Heidi, too, and don't sabotage your chance at a good relationship by bringing up the millions of partners you've had in the last 3 weeks before you met the guy. You will do it under the guise of truthfulness, but the reality is you're going to be pushing the guy away. Just take a nice shower and a loofah and find some nice fresh-faced kid and don't tell him about it. Tell him you're virgin. Or you can do that hymen reconstruction. Yeah, Drew? Yeah?
Yeah, why not?
All right. You meet a nice guy at our black and white barbecue that we're working on. Me and Dax, where everyone wears purple hoods.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It is going to be a hell of a cookout.
Purple party.
That's right. And only...
the Purple Panthers.
Only skin color we focus on is the color of the chicken on the barbecue, not burning it.
The only skin color is pink, medium pink.
That's right.
Or,
how do you
or
like
well
it?
Done. Yeah.
That's right. That's
the only colors we know.
I like it, by the way. I don't know why this just got me thinking on this, but remember I used to scream about, I'd always, whenever a wardrobe put me in a suit or something, was always too tight, and then the wardrobe guy would always go, oh, well, that designer, yeah, they make them really small. Like, they're 42 long. It's like everyone else is 40 regular. Yeah. I'm like, well, you can't do that. or you should know. But they do this at restaurants where you go, I'll have it medium rare, and they go, our medium rare. What do you mean your medium rare? Just make it like everyone's medium rare, you idiots.
This just happened to Seth and I in Chicago, literally last week. They go, our medium rare is actually very rare. And I'm like, what gives you license to completely throw the lexicon out and start from scratch?
It's like you pulling into a gas station. I'm going, you should know our gallon is really only about three quarters.
Or our premium is 93 octane and our regular's 86.
Well, why the hell do you, our 3x4s, 3/6, first off, whatever they are, 3 2/3.
Listen, Norm, first off, there's no 3x4s.
Or whatever, 4x4.
There's 2x4s.
Whatever. They're not 2x4s.
2x4. 2x4 is 1.5 by 3.5 because that's the way the lumber industry makes their money.
It's not 2x4s, though.
All right, but I agree with that. It used to be a 2x4, but here's the whole thing.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Okay, first off, they're spread out 16 on center. No, here's the thing. A 2x4 has made its way down to 1.5 by 3.5.
They're not even 2x4s anymore.
They're not 2x4s. All right, but the point is, and here's my point, Drew. If I go to Home Depot and buy a 2x4, it is the same dimension as it is at Terry Lumber's, it is at Osh, as it is at
Lowe's. Let me try a different thing.
Once you establish what a 44 long is, or what rare is, or what medium rare is, whatever you want to call it, if it's universal, we're fine. I don't like these people with our version of it. Like, I'm a designer.
Here's where the horse emerges from the barn, is this name spelling. Amy.
Oh, that's where we've been. All right.
That's where it goes.
This whole clothing thing, though, we know where it all started, and it's because the Gap was like, you know what's a great way to get women to buy clothes is an 8 can come in here and put on a 6, and they're going to buy it because every girl wants to be a 6. It's like my girlfriend, perfect body, obsessed with what she weighs, right? Yeah. I always say, why do you weigh yourself? If you look good, you look good. Wouldn't you rather be 260 and have Nicole Kidman's body than 110 and look like Carney Wilson?
That's right.
You know?
Except that's impossible.
That is not true.
I know. You're right.
I mean, there are people
on a different planet or something.
But they'd be happy wearing a size 6, even though they know damn well they're a 10+.
Right.
And they'll go shopping there, knowing they're lying to themselves, just to say, I wear a 6. Now you have girls that really wear, like, -25. Like,
let me,
a Kate Hudson wears a -25.
Let me just say, when me and Dax are in charge, medium rare is going to be medium rare. 44 long is going to be goddamn 44 long.
Right.
And the black and white barbecue with the purple robes and hoods every weekend.
Absolutely.
Every weekend. Uniting the country through standardization of sizes and the black and white barbecue.
Yes, mesquite will be mesquite, by God. And if you go against it, you're going to have black and white men against you.
And medium rare will be medium rare.
Yes.
Nicole?
Hello.
Hi, Nikki.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Who's cuter?
What was that?
Who's cuter?
I don't know.
Mighty Seth Mouse or Speedy Gonzalez?
Definitely Mighty Mouse.
That's just because he's got the superhero outfit.
Yeah, he wore his underpants. Go ahead. Didn't Mighty Mouse sing opera, too, or something?
Shut up,
please. By the way,
here I come to sing a song.
Let me just say this real quick about...
Before we get to your question.
About mice. I've had an ass full of them in our culture and cartoons and
stuff.
Anytime
you talk about an ass full of mice...
You're talking about
a different subject.
All I'm saying is mice are basically bred to be bait and to be just sort of exterminated, eaten by owls, and fed to snakes. Do we have to make a bunch of cartoons and stuff about them?
It is the prototypical underdog.
I'm done with them.
Is that it?
Nicole?
Oh, that was a good answer.
Thanks, buddy.
Nicole?
Yes?
Sorry. Go ahead, baby doll.
I have a problem. I don't have orgasms, and I don't get turned on or anything.
You're 17.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, you're 17. That's normal.
Yeah.
Is
that's
it?
Fine. It's fine.
Yeah, so most
men... Can I take a guess at something? Huh? Do you have... are you light-haired? Do you have light hair?
I don't know.
All right, I'm going to stop there.
Well, have you been in any, like,
testosterone levels affect that drastically?
You come to the barbecue if you're blonde or...
if you're hairier, if you have more testosterone, women with more testosterone have orgasms easier.
Interesting.
And she could just be, like, a very fair Norwegian girl. I don't know.
But wait a second. Have you dated a lot of guys? Have you had a lot of opportunity to have orgasms?
Yes, but the thing is, if I live with my current boyfriend and we've been together for a year...
Do you
masturbate and give yourself an orgasm?
Yeah, I went to the doctor and she said to try a vibrator and I tried that and that didn't even work.
That's, hang on, you're 17 and listen. You're living with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure you heard me. You're 17 and you're living with your boyfriend?
Yeah. Oh, I'm emancipated.
Why are you emancipated? What happened at home?
Something with the vibrator.
I just don't like my sister. Nothing to my parents. Well, my parents, I just don't like my sister.
Did she abuse you or something?
Huh?
Did she physically abuse you or something?
No, she's just crazy. She's bipolar and I can't handle that, so.
And she lives with your parents?
Yeah.
And your parents are okay with you moving out of the house because you and your sister don't get along?
Well, yeah, because I had an attorney and I showed a great deal of responsibility, so.
Attorney.
You know, when I was 17, I showed a great deal of responsibility too, but
wow.
Yeah. Well,
that's a pretty heavy, traumatic family situation, but all right, be that as it may.
And by the way, how about the doctor? How about glossing over the doctor who recommended the vibrator?
That's,
like,
yeah, it's kind of, listen, there's a,
that's good. Here's the deal. I applaud that doctor.
But here's
well
the deal.
Done, doc.
Not nearly 17. Enough. Not nearly enough is made about the developmental process of the female. The fact is that many women, and nearly most, have difficulty having orgasm until their early 20s. That's part of the biological development. It's not a psychological process. As you see, with all the encouragement in the world, it still just doesn't work yet.
No
and that's
kidding.
Very, very common.
You hit 25, it's going to be a nonstop
party.
It'll
start working. And then after that, most women never have an orgasm with intercourse.
All right, Dad, stop eating.
Oh, geez, was I doing that?
Okay, that was you. Yeah. Hey, Nicole?
Yeah?
Okay. Is our phone screwing up
yeah,
again?
Yeah, it is.
Fantastic. All right.
But I want to know how old Nicole's boyfriend is. I'm a little bit suspicious of him.
Interesting.
Nicole?
Yeah?
How old's your boyfriend?
He's 19.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that ain't bad.
Mm-hmm. Not too bad.
And you're living together and you're working and he's working?
Yeah, I work for an insurance company and he works for NASA.
Okay.
For NASA? You know what? Just be patient. Like, take time to really explore yourself and get comfortable with yourself. You've been through a lot.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend works for NASA?
No, Napa Auto.
Oh, Napa.
Napa.
Big difference.
Napa.
Yeah.
How dare I think you're NASA?
Yeah, he's an RC builder over at JPL.
And, you know, it's funny. It's like you go from the mechanical drafting board and him wearing some glasses and his sleeves rolled up to a guy behind a counter with a Goobert with the flap of his hat turned
banging
up.
On the greasiest keyboard you ever saw. Every time I get an auto part, I'm like, how oily can one computer keyboard get and still function?
Saying to a guy.
At the point where they're covering them in saran wrap just as a precaution, then changing out the wrap.
You know what's a nice loser move is not only working, you know, fixing your own car, but doing it on a city street. Like, you got an apartment, you can't do it. Like, the landlord has found a little too much tranny fluid in the driveway and has forbid you from coming in. So you actually work in the parking lot of
I
the
saw
Napa.
A guy change like a transmission that. In a Sears parking lot.
I love that.
Yeah, I do, too.
I
wanted to give the guy a hand.
I like the ideas they're doing. These guys, like, you pull up in front of an auto parts place, there's guys doing full engine rebuilds in the parking lot.
Wow. Some guys have just pushed Cherry it picker. Into that lot, got the parts, and...
Yeah,
they're only leaving that parking lot.
They
gotta get that celluloid in there.
The blocks coming back from the machine shop around noon, so we're gonna drop it in with this cherry picker.
A three angle valve job. It's gonna be about 625 horse when I leave here.
I wish I knew what you were talking about.
Well, he knows Moto Guzzi and solenoid. He knows them all. All right. Yeah, that is a white trash move right there.
I'd actually like someone to call in with an automotive question because I don't know anything about relationships or sex. So,
you know about auto? You know about automotive?
Adam will ask you.
I'll ask you a question.
Yeah, okay.
You want to like
did we answer? What was her name?
Stumper? Yeah, or do you want a question?
Did we answer her question?
We tell her to be patient. That's it.
What kind? You want American or you want a foreign car?
I'd like to go American.
Like go American?
Yeah.
Do you want like a stumper or what do you want?
No, I don't know. A stumper. I don't want to look like a fool.
What's a slave cylinder do?
A slave cylinder.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's in the brakes.
Mm.
I blew it.
Yeah.
I did? What's a slave cylinder?
Hydraulic clutch.
Hydraulic clutch.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right. I knew that at some level, and I just blew it.
I just like that
I
word.
I think slave cylinder is the other nickname for Britney Spears' fiancé.
It's also be the name of the barbecue, too, we're throwing.
No.
Drew?
My dad's going to punch me in the mouth for getting that wrong, by the way.
Did your dad, like, have cars and you go tool on them with him?
Yeah, he did. I mean, actually, he's not the gearhead. I was a gearhead, but he really... thinks of me as a gearhead, and when he finds out that I dropped the ball on that, I think all of his love for me is going to be gone.
I don't think a lot of the older hot rods had the hydraulic clutches, so maybe that was
it. But Adam, your dad thinks of you as a gearhead, doesn't he? Wait, he doesn't think of you.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a complaint. This is a...
During the break. Adam freaks out.
Drew? Caller Drew?
Yeah.
What's up? You're 18.
I'm 18, and... Well, here goes. I've been friends with this girl for about 2 years now.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's too late. I already told her.
Watch Pretty in Pink over and over again.
What'd you do? You
watch Some Kind of Wonderful. It doesn't work, dude.
You told her you loved her?
Yeah, I did.
And what'd she say?
She was just, like, really freaked out about it. She's like, oh, my God, you know, I just thought we were friends and blah, blah, blah. You know, she was like, you know, she's really surprised by it, I guess.
What's your question? What's your question?
How long have you guys been friends?
2 years?
My question is, like, what should I do now? Because
it doesn't matter.
Well,
she's not into you.
Right, but let me explain something, Drew. First off, there is a silver lining. You're 18. She's 18. In about 22 years, when she has 4 kids, a prolapsed vagina, and a couple of bad marriages under her belt,
she'll be
some stretch
around.
Marks, she put a little weight on, you can have her if you stay in school. If you get that good gig and they've, you know, you've just made partner at the firm, you can have her. And actually, you can have her for one night, probably, in a little vengeance sex. But you have to bide your time. It's 15, 20 years away from now.
But in all seriousness, that's like an awful predicament to be in, because you're really good friends with somebody. You find yourself developing a crush on them because you get to appreciate them in their private moments.
He's had
nice,
this
but he liked her
from the beginning.
That's
the
why he became friends
he
with her.
I know, and he settled for the friendship, which was the fool move to make in the first place. Because anytime you put yourself in the position of, oh, I'll be a friend and sneaking through the back door,
right.
Does not.
I'm going to disagree. One of my most landmark love affairs was one I patiently waited out for about a year.
But did she know you were into her?
Yeah.
That's different. That's it. This guy led her to believe that this was her friend.
And also,
they're always
not
shocked when the guy suddenly comes on with the full romance. They're like, what? I thought we were friends. Listen, if you're 18 to 22 and you have a male friend, he's into you.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you're into him. Then he's not in it.
Or even
and
a stepfather.
Advice for the guys, if you think a girl is hot right off the bat, even when you're becoming friends with her, relentlessly flirt. Pursue from the beginning. That way there's no misunderstanding and no, like, I can't believe this comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You're like, I've been telling you this from the get-go. Yes,
yes. Also, Dax is strapping, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
Do you think so, Adam?
Yeah.
Dax is, what are you, 6'2"?
I'm 6'2", but I, you know,
broad
I'm not,
in the shoulder,
I'm not the
good looking,
guy.
Easy on the eyes.
Narrow luckily, I've got an award winning personality. So,
caller Drew,
yeah. Gravity defying.
I mean, literally, the trophy is on my credenza.
Drew, so you told her your feelings. She was freaked out, and now it's she's avoiding you.
It's roofie time.
Pretty much.
Sorry.
All right, here's the whole thing. You don't really admit this to yourself because you're still under the same BS, you know, flying under the same BS flag you've been flying for 2 years, which is, I thought we were friends. I can't believe you're. No,
well,
you're
I'm also
going to
say she knew. I'm also going to go on a limb and say she knew. You know, you can feel it. It's in the air. When someone likes you, it's so palpable, and it grosses you out if you don't have those feelings.
Yeah,
I
but
don't think
great,
she didn't.
There's
know.
A great thing that girls do, which is an enormous. They just deceive the hell out of themselves about things like that.
Yeah, well, they choose not to know it.
Right, I'm saying that she's not shocked. She must know on a certain level.
I don't think it's ever a huge surprise when the guy comes up. But, yes.
The reason why I told her is because, you know, I've been telling my friend, you know, well, my best friend this, you know, that, you know, I really liked her and stuff. And come to find out, like, a week ago, he slept with her. So it was kind of, you know, like a stab in the back of him.
Sure.
This call should be more about your best friend and what an ass he is than
All right, so anyway, caller Drew.
Yeah.
Every one of us has been through this. It's only worked for one of us, and even he had to put in a year. And in 17 or 18-year-old years, a year?
Well, it was 9 years of my life. It was 11th grade to 12th grade.
Oh,
it felt
like
a decade had passed.
Right. Yeah. That's the point.
That was 5% of my life at that time.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You'll have many best friends who are girls in your life, and you'll have many girls who you hook up with. It's difficult to make the two the same.
Yeah, just move forward and pounce upon first
sight.
Well,
you know what the ironic twist is that after you've been going out for 4 or 5 years, all you are is best friends anyway, so she might as well just, you know, pump them for a couple of years, and they'll pick up right where they left off. I mean, who's kidding
Max
you?
Max is right.
You're basically living with your best friend after a while.
Tell her to tune into the show. We'll set her straight.
Yeah. No, that's what happens. The relationship becomes like, I'm going to put my penis through this hole and plywood and watch porno while you put on a greased-up oven mitt and give me a little hand action.
The hot and heavy. Thank for you. Anyone with the illusion that the hot and heavy is going over 3 years, I mean,
Now you don't do that tongue-kissing anymore. It becomes gross. It's like watching your parents.
If someone tells me that, like, oh, you were away for a week, you guys must have really went at it. I go, that's disgusting. You're talking about my best friend.
All right, Dax is now starting to freak me out because Drew is a man of exquisite passion.
You're gay.
Thank you, Drew. All right, let's take a little break here. Seth Green is here tonight. Dax Shepard here tonight from Without a Paddle, coming out on the 18th. That is 1 week from this Wednesday, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Seth Green is here.
What's up, y'all?
Dax, quiet, Drew. I'm not done introducing the guest. Dax Shepard.
Sorry, Adam.
Thank you. Dax Shepard is also here
what
tonight.
It is.
Without a Paddle is the name. And Dax Shepard just struck me as the world's greatest astronaut name.
Yes,
Dax Shepard.
Well, there is the famous Shepard astronaut, so it's not a far leap.
But Dax has even a more masculine.
Yeah.
That's the astronaut for the new millennium, y'all.
Dax, is it short for something?
There was a best-selling book in the 70s called The Adventures by Harold Robbins, and my parents were reading the book when they were pregnant with me, and the lead character's name was Dax.
Hmm. Short for dachshund.
No.
Wow, so they just read a book and they...
Yeah, he was a Spanish revolutionist who laid every girl he met, and yeah, it was a real smutty...
Good thing they weren't reading like Charlotte's Web. Be screwed.
Well, believe Charlotte. Me, in Michigan, there I don't know that there could have been a worse name. Like Charlotte might have been about the equivalent.
Dax, yeah, but now it's cool. Except,
well, now people accuse me of having made it up
right.
for this
well,
line
that's
of
the,
work.
That's the other thing. Now you have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny when people are confronted with something new, they just can't, they refuse to believe that could just possibly be.
Mm. You hear a name like Dax and you assume, and the guy's in show business and he's on MTV or was on MTV.
But if you make that assumption about me, you're basically also making the assumption that I'm an ass.
Yeah.
And you're
like, oh, no, we're doing
that. Because if you think, oh, this guy made up this name Dax, then you must think I'm a real jerk, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's
no.
That's
because if you told me, Dr. Drew, you said, my name's Lightning Bolt, I'd be like, A, you made it up. B, what kind of idiot makes up a name?
But that
Lightning Bolt,
by
right?
By the way, but that's today. Why we make the assumption it makes us feel better about us.
Right.
Do you understand?
But you're a handsome
on his
man.
Butt. He's only 20 years old.
Drew, please.
But somebody could say, Drew, could also, like, who gave you that name? Who, you know what I mean? Something, it's a nickname or something. That.
Oh, that's true. But my nickname's Grunt.
Really?
Well, yeah, from when I was a kid, I was deaf until I was 2 years old.
And really?
Deaf
until two?
Yes.
What
this
happened?
Is a true story. You could even call my mom to confirm this, but I had an earache. She took me to the doctor. Doctor looked at my ears and said, you know, Dax is deaf. And my mom said, Dax isn't deaf. Dax, touch your nose. So I touched my nose. And then he said, okay. He turned me so I couldn't see her and said, now tell him to touch his nose. So she... says, Dax, touch your nose. I do nothing.
Right.
I had scar tissue over both eardrums and
infections.
Was deaf. Uh-huh. And so I couldn't talk. I had like 25% hearing in one ear, so I would grunt. I would try to talk.
Uh-huh.
And then I had
play?
A surgery, and they took away the scar tissue, and then I was talking like a month later. Everything was
were
fine.
Were you like reading your mom's lips? Or
you learned to read lips just as quickly as you would learn to, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hey, tell me what I'm saying right now.
Olive oil.
We're gonna need.
I love that you whisper it though.
I'm so into you. It's ridiculous. Watch my lips move. I hope you can hear what I'm saying. I hope you can read between the lines. I want you in the studio. I don't care who watches.
I think I need your girlfriend to wait out in the car too. I don't need that.
No, she's gonna, she'll document with photograph.
Oh, she will.
Oh, right. Yeah. She's quick with a camera.
Alyssa. What's up, baby doll?
I'm 15, and I have a question about if you have an alcoholic parent, what can you do as their child to help them?
Well,
I have intimate experience with this.
You want to talk about it?
Well, hold on.
Let's
out
our folks. What's up for ACOAs?
I want Dax to read my lips again. Al-Anon. Did you read it? What I say?
Yeah, that was good.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Are your parents alcoholics? Yours?
Mine?
Dax? Yeah.
I have a parent that's a recovering alcoholic.
Uh-huh. Did you do any Al-Anon stuff?
Alateen.
I did, and I found it. Well, yeah, I did.
All right.
But I enjoyed going to AA more because I'd rather be the guy that was causing all the problems than the people dealing with the problems.
Right. Hey, Alyssa?
Yes.
Is it Alyssa or Alyssa?
Alyssa.
Alyssa.
Oh, okay. That's another one we got to straighten out, too. How about something like Alateen?
She's focused on curing the mom and not helping herself. And that's one of the mistakes that people have when they're involved with alcoholic addicts. Really, all you can do is take care of yourself. And the fact is, in my experience, that when these important relationships in the alcoholic's life begin taking care of themselves, they stop engaging in the dance with the alcoholic. They stop putting up with the BS. And that actually wakes the alcoholic up very often and gets them willing to get better. There's nothing you can do to make her better. You can certainly put her on notice that it's significantly affecting your life, refer her in the right direction, get her to go into AA if possible, get her to an addictionologist. But all you can do for yourself is go to Alateen and or get a therapist.
I think the most important thing for you to recognize is that it's not a judgment on how much that person loves you, that, oh, they don't love me enough to quit. Because they don't love themselves enough not to quit. They're miserable. You know, anyone who suffered from it hates it more than you could possibly hate it, and they can't stop it for themselves. So you should never feel like it's any judgment on their loving you or not loving you.
All right.
Okay.
All right, baby doll. That is. Take care of yourself, all right?
All right.
All right. But good times.
It really sucks to deal with that when you're 15.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to be a parent at 15.
No.
Yeah.
But so many people are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And saving your parents or healing your parents, you should just work on getting away from them. Really, that's what you need to focus on. And then retribution, which is the stage I'm at now. Now it's payback time. Oh, yeah. It's a bitch. Pixie?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
Is that a nickname, Pixie?
No, it's my real name.
Wow. You got to get together with Dax.
Did they read that famous book?
This is Dax and Pixie Shepherd.
Dax and Pixie. Daxie and Pix Shepherd.
Is that a mouse team?
Would you like to date me? Is that an option, Pixie?
I really don't know.
All right. Oh, boy. All right. I've just been exposed as a nobody.
Go ahead, Pixie. You got to get in another motorcycle accident. Build your confidence up. Go ahead, Pixie.
Okay. I've been dating this guy for about a month, right? And every time we mess around, like, I can't get his penis fully hard. I mean, I'll do strip teases. I'll do everything.
Is it really big?
Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm.
Is it really large? Because sometimes that has an effect. If a guy has a really large penis, it won't get full.
Is he on medication?
It's what?
No, it's 8 inches long.
I love it. She knows exactly. It's 8 inches.
Yeah, I'm sure. But anyways, about that.
Is he on Prozac?
No, he's not on anything.
How about Propecia? Does he have thin hair? Is he on testosterone inhibitor?
I don't know. He's
Is he into dudes?
I don't think he is. I mean, him and his friend that they're living together, they're pretty homophobic. I mean,
that's always a good sign. That's the big off. Flag,
I think
right?
He does
there.
Protest us too much.
It's true. You hook these guys up to the tumescence monitor and show them some gay erotica. It's always the homophobes that set the thing off the charts. I've been busted a few times with that.
Obviously, there's times where it is fully erect because you've measured it.
Well, I mean.
What's the percentage?
It won't be fully erect, but usually when I do measure, it's about around 8 inches.
That's a pretty good size wine this gentleman's got.
Not fully erect. And again, because there's confusion, you measure the penis, Drew, from where?
From behind the anus.
Center.
Top of the butt crack.
Center of the anus to just past the tip.
No.
Yeah.
Then you're measuring your perineum. That's not fair.
Center of the anus to just past the head.
Then I've got 15 inches because I've got a 6-inch perineum.
It's just past. So you can go just...
I've got the biggest perineum this radio station's ever witnessed.
I think it's perineum.
I've got the John Holmes of perineums. I'm the John... You could land an airplane on my perineum. I hope you like playing soccer on my perineum because there's room for all your friends.
John Travolta actually landed his jet on the runway that I call my perineum.
I believe that.
I tried to tour the Grand Canyon, but my perineum would not fit in its parameters. I've stored enough heat and food for the winter just inside my perineum.
It didn't even make any sense.
Hey, you want to see that whole perineum, actually, perineum.
Perineum.
Riff.
Is it perineum?
I was going to stop you on the fourth.
It's funny the way you were doing
guys
it.
Guys are
listen,
on such a
you
roll.
Say tomato, I say perineum.
That's right. I'm just going to let him roll with it.
Perineum.
So, wait, now here's the question. So you're just not getting them completely hard?
No, and I'm actually doing a lot of things. Like, even when I'll give him
what do you,
blow
but job, what do you consider, well, like, on, completely hard enough to, like, break something?
It's just not, it's yeah, not like, functional.
Is that exactly. what it is? It's not functional?
Exactly. And, I mean, I've never had an orgasm with him. And I'm like, okay, give me something to work with, you know? Because I really, it's just like I'm pleasing him. Really.
Yeah, yeah. And well, does he give you oral sex?
He does, but he'll stop, like, he'll go, and then every, like, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, he'll stop, and he'll just finger me.
That's because he's afraid to
mm-hmm.
ejaculate.
Mm-hmm. Well, but he's not, without an erection?
No erection.
All right, here's
no,
the
no,
thing.
She said oral.
Pixie, this oral doesn't, like this doesn't sound like much of a relationship. You trying
We're
to...
We're casually dating.
All right.
Well, I do want to say though, if at the you're at the month marker and he doesn't have, you know, you might want to,
yeah,
I mean, because I've actually looked at his penis several times while he's giving me head, and it won't be erect.
But that's not uncommon.
And I mean, even when he's like playing with my breast or something, I mean, they're just out there. So I mean.
All right, listen, Pixie, here, let me explain something real quick.
I'm erect, and I'm not even with you.
Just
right
you describing
now.
Your breast is doing a lot for all of us.
Yeah. You are somebody who bases your soul worth on this planet to how seductive you can be to a man. So hooking you up with a guy that can't get a boner is like having a vegan work at a Black Angus restaurant. it's a retarded connection.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that you base your entire being on how many guys you can give a boner to in a weekend. But
and you're soliciting the approval of a guy
right.
who spends a lot of time living with another dude talking about how gay they're not while they slap each other on the ass with their half-hard
right.
wangs.
So go find a guy. That's right. That's right, all you guys with big wangs. That's right.
Oh,
you
know, my goodness.
You're like a huge shotgun with no bullets in it. You know what I mean? Whereas I got the Derringer in my sock.
But
it's deadly. It's deadly, man. But at close range. You got to be real close.
But honestly, Pixie, if you fell out of an airplane, you'd wish you had my perineum on your back.
That's right.
Because it'd slow you down.
That's right. Perineum.
You could fan it out and use it as a makeshift parachute.
I actually did that in New Zealand. We got really close. If you
well, remember, I just laid on my stomach, and you guys rode it like a slip and slide for a few hours.
It's really odd. Yeah.
The mammoth. They use Dax's perineum, by the way. You know, at the ballpark when it rains and they got to get the diamond?
Yeah.
That's what they use.
Stretch
it's
out over there.
Yeah.
Just fan
no,
it out.
No pun intended of the ballpark.
Right.
That's right. It says, if you look at it, ballpark. It says Brewers on it if you get see it. Well, it's unfurled.
Yeah, he has posted a lot of advertisement on Dax's perineum. Yeah.
Sometimes if I'm driving real fast down a hill, my brakes get hot, I'll just let some of it out the window.
Yeah.
And it'll just
be like a
parachute.
Yeah, slow them right down. All right, should we take a break or we can keep
I'm
this
like,
perineum
that call. Yeah, we need a break. That pixie call confused me. I don't think we...
I think she was just bragging about what a hot sex pot she is.
She's screwed. Yeah. She's screwy.
How old was she?
She's going to get
she was like, I
she's
do strip teases and everything. And sometimes when he's giving me...
No,
the advice not to base her whole worth and focus of her life on the male is appropriate advice.
Yeah.
Get on with your life.
That was pretty hard-hitting, Drew, though, because Adam, because I kind of wanted it to keep going, and I applaud you.
For taking it off the sex train.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I fell into it. She was getting exactly what she wanted from me. I wanted to know where she was at.
Well, don't get me wrong. I wanted her to get with some chicks. I'm saying dyke it up every once in a while. I wasn't saying stop the sexuality. I'm saying it turns a guy on if he sees you going down on a chick. I hope that wasn't misinterpreted.
Yeah. No, don't worry.
That came across?
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. Drew, keep that down. Seth Green is here. I almost said Seth MacFarlane. Dax Shepard here tonight without a paddle. Name of the new joint coming out
dropping Wednesday, August 18th. Yo, it's gonna blow up the streets for sure.
I hope you're not afraid to laugh till you might urinate in your pants in the theater, because it could happen.
I hope you're looking forward to getting so turned on you punch your friend next to you in the face and then spill a bunch of popcorn on him because you're having such a good time.
Yeah.
I hope you don't hate driving home reliving all the funny moments in this movie, because it's going to happen.
Did that make any sense?
I hope you don't get distracted driving, remembering great moments, because you're going to wind up in a terrible bender on the freeway.
I hope you left wrapping your Honda around a telephone pole on the way home from movies.
I hope you got driver's insurance and AAA service, because you're going to blow out all four of your tires just in the momentum and the inertia of the powerful, powerful picture.
I hope you like taking a date to a movie and losing her to the three boys on the screen, because that might happen.
I hope you like losing your virginity on a first date, because you're going to be so inspired after this movie.
Yeah. Mm. And, by the way, let me join in for us. You could be...
You blew me out of the water on that
Dax's
round, by the way.
You could be on Dax's perineum while you're driving home from...
I hope you like watching movies broadcast on my perineum.
That's right. Driving.
I will be putting a fresh coat of white paint on said perineum for outdoor screenings.
I got to tell you, in all honesty, Dax and I worked with Matt Lillard for 3 months, and Steve Brill, the director, and it was literally that every day. Like, every day we just had a blast.
It was like they gave 4 8-year-olds a bunch of money and sent them to New Zealand.
And somehow we made a pretty cohesive movie that's really funny and sweet.
What was the budget, by the way?
What is it?
It was under 30. It was about $28 million.
Yeah, a lot of that was travel and effects.
Wow.
And insurance, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. And then Bart the Bear ate up most of the budget.
Yeah.
Is that a real bear?
He had to travel nine different countries to get to
Bart
New Zealand.
Bart the Bear has been in a few movies.
This is actually Bart Jr., the original Bart, has been put underground. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Because, Bart, I was going to say, Bart the Bear would be getting pretty old.
But he travels with an entourage. There's like 6 coyotes, 3 cougars.
All with sunglasses and lots of bling.
I feel like that's a Paul F. Tompkins joke. Have you ever heard? Does he have a routine about Bart the Bear?
Does he?
All right, here we go.
He's a funny comic, though. I like
Melanie?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
Your mom's a stripper?
Yeah.
And your dad's an alcoholic?
Yeah.
And sounds like you won the lottery.
Wow. And you want to know who to live with?
Where's my bourbon?
They said that I can choose, but
Who said you could choose? Who said that?
My parents.
Are they splitting up?
Hey, but I'm saying a little. Well, I'm saying 5. But
hold on a second.
I'm a fanny pack wearing guy.
What? What'd you say?
So they're separated.
Yeah.
And your mom works currently as a stripper?
Yeah, and the reason they're separated is because she got pregnant with another man, and she lives with him right now, and I really don't like him.
Right. I'd stay away from the dude who knocked up your mom at all costs.
Yeah. How bad an alcoholic? How bad?
Serious.
I mean, Hemingway was an alcoholic. I'd live with him.
How bad?
Yeah, Bukowski was an alcoholic.
How bad was the alcoholism? Your dad?
It's pretty bad.
Is he abusive when he's drinking?
No, but it's hard to deal with. And my brother moved to go live with my mom, so I feel kind of alone here and stuff. But
how old's your brother?
He's 13.
No, I'm going to start clearing a cot for him now in the joint.
What's your stripper mom's new boyfriend do for a living?
They're both lawyers, my mom and him. My mom was going to become a lawyer, but she couldn't pass the bar.
Just working her way through school, that's all. Yeah. No big deal.
I was going to be a pirate astronaut myself.
Yeah.
I got sidetracked with construction, and I'm going to get back to it, though. Melanie?
Yeah?
Just for kicks, you know your mom's stripper name?
No.
No, you don't?
No.
You got to get into that.
How long has she been stripping?
Like, the past, 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Wow, got into it late. I guess, you
Yeah, I mean, how old is she? Well, you're 15?
Yeah.
So the mom's got to be at least 22, 32, right?
Yeah, she had me when she was really young. She grew up in Guatemala.
So, all right.
Yeah, they just.
Well, the plot thickens. Guatemala.
Well, listen here, Melanie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just give you the broad strokes here. We agree, better alcoholic dad than a stripper mom. You cannot be the caretaker to these two idiots.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, too. You need to, if your dad's going to drink, your dad's going to drink. You can go to Al-Anon or Alateen or something like that. And then secondly, you just get involved with stuff at school. And please, don't get pregnant at 15 and a half like your crazy mom.
Yeah, don't be responsible for their craziness.
It's you know.
Do you have a grandparent?
Yeah. They live in Rolling Hills, but.
I think you should be Rolling Hills bound, baby.
How about that?
Really old.
Well,
yeah, but it's old, a safe environment.
Yeah, but at least they don't wear pasties.
Yeah.
If they do, it's, you know, it's underneath the, you know, appropriate sweater.
Is this your mom's parents or your dad's?
My dad's.
Yeah, that might be a better place.
For grandparents?
And odds are, let me tell you what might happen, because the dad may have some issues because his parents were that great. They may be all hell-bent on redoing their, you know, how they screwed up with your dad and be great to you.
Oh, yeah. My grandma was a druggie, but she's totally changed now.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Hey, listen, Melanie.
Let's
just
get
please.
Out Rolling Hills.
I'm
Let's
giving this
it.
Advice to everybody with horrible parents. Please understand that they're horrible people and that you shouldn't do anything they've done. I mean, here's the whole thing.
But
like,
more importantly, you should be responsible for them.
But both. It's like, you know, her mom got pregnant at 16, so Melanie's going to get pregnant at 16. Yeah. Her dad was an alcoholic, so she might get into alcohol or drugs. Like, here's the thing. Understand what F-ups your horrible parents are, and then just do the opposite. Use them as a negative template.
And I think that's the single strangest thing about getting older and seeing people like your cohort starting to raise children and realizing, oh, yeah, these idiots I went to school with are now having kids. You never become more qualified to do so, you know?
Right.
It's the same realization of like, wow, when I was in elementary school, my teachers were 26 years old. They were partying. They were human beings. You know, like they had crushes on each other. That realization that, wow, these kids that were all, you know, dysfunctional are now having
kids. There's that weird moment where you get older and you recognize that your parents are just people and they have the same fallibility that anybody else has and they're not superheroes. And
yeah,
You can find a great way to like, forgive them for being human, but take your life into your own hands because clearly they're not looking out for you.
And, you know, what you're talking about, Dax, is people that are 25 and went to junior college for 2 years before they transferred to a four-year school. We're talking about 16-year-olds who are cooking up meth and stuff and being parents.
Well, I'm not saying they didn't rip lines in the teacher's lounge at Spring Mills Elementary. I think they may have.
All right, let's take a break on that positive note. Well, how much paperwork has gone back and forth?
A lot.
I feel like I'm giving a deposition.
Dex says, need a stenographer.
Are they guests on a show or are they buying your condo?
I'm actually doing both on there.
You ran a TRW.
It's a great condo. It's got lots of natural light.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You wouldn't understand me. I'm a loner, daddy, a rebel.
Hey, everybody. Well, that's the show. Where does the time go? Dax, Seth, I'll tell you. Entertaining, energetic, involved guests. You two come back together separately anytime you like.
That'd be fun.
God bless the both
really,
of you.
Really, you could split us up and
get double the show.
That's what I'm thinking. Or you guys come back together and we do a four-hour show.
Okay. Yeah.
Without a Paddle's, the name of the new movie, out 1 week from this Wednesday on the
18th.
I
hope you like getting your socks blown off.
Hope you like getting your bell rung.
We will.
I hope you got insurance on your door because it's going to be ripped off the hinges.
I don't know when the last time your clock was cleaned out.
We will take ourselves a little break and we'll be right back. Oh, no, we're going for good. Until next time. Yeah, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Hope you got driver's insurance and AAA service because you're going to blow out all four of your tires. Just the momentum and the inertia of the powerful, powerful picture.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.